just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
It is time to bring a little highbrow class to our tacky little show.
Not with me on this podcast, we don't.
Okay, let's get tacky with our high clouds.
That's more like it.
A little while back, we discussed Disney's foray into the Broadway world with Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
And kind of how that worked out for them, which, spoilers, great. Worked out great for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought
they bought the place.
They did everything. I thought it would be fun to move on to another arguably most successful, not just Disney Broadway show, but Broadway show period. And that's
The Jungle Lion Book.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the very well-known Jungle Book musical. We'll get to Tarzan later. But we're talking The Lion King.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me that literally The Lion King is successful in any avenue that they try to put it in.
And there's nothing, almost nothing they've ever done that I've hated about it.
The sequels. Lion King 2 is not great.
Oh, but, yeah. I've never seen it, so I'm just going to take your word for it.
But it was still fairly successful. They made a third one. So you have the movie, then you have the sequels, then you have TV shows, then you have
live
all the
action
toys.
In the park.
You have live action in the park. Then you have Broadway. Then you have the remake.
Uh-huh.
And literally, it's just... I think they should change it to the Lion Cow, the Cow King, because it is just a cash cow for Disney.
Well, and when it went to Broadway, it changed Broadway forever, right?
Like, it very much did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very big deal. And I think originally a lot of the buzz about it was how were you going to do the Lion King on Broadway?
Yeah, we see how it turned out for Siegfried and Roy.
Oh, jeez. Another timely reference. No, it's like, I remember hearing about The Lion King going to Broadway and thinking, how?
Yeah.
And then someone said, oh, they're doing it with puppets. And I thought, well, that's going to be janky. You can't,
everybody loves puppets.
I thought, okay, it's going to be very cutesy kidsy then.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had been to puppet shows as a kid, but never as an adult.
Yeah.
Had I seen a quote unquote puppet show.
And they were calling this a puppet show, huh?
Well, when
That's
I asked
a very
people,
loose interpretation it's of very, what
yeah,
happened.
Yeah, it's not really. But my question initially was, how do you do Lion King on Broadway?
Uh-huh.
And the response was, oh, well, they do a lot of puppet work. And I thought, oh, okay. So it's going to be a kid's show,
mm-hmm.
right? So what I found interesting about it, though, is that the movie came out in 94. Right.
Okay.
Wild smash crazy success.
Yeah.
And then it was on stage on Broadway by 97.
Really?
Which I didn't realize the turnaround was that fast.
No.
It's faster even than Frozen got, I think, to Broadway.
That's crazy.
So I was thinking it was a couple year, you know, I didn't realize it was that short of a time period.
Uh-huh.
Because the show is not... for those of you that haven't seen anything from it, it's not a small show
mm-hmm.
by any stretch of the imagination. It is a massive production with huge costume set design. Like, it's just a huge, cumbersome kind of show.
And it's still on Broadway now, right?
It very much is. Yeah. It's. Ooh. I think when the last thing I read said it's been running for 9,000 performances or
oh,
something
dang.
Like that.
It's giving Carousel Progress around Fred's Bunny.
Yeah. I think it beat out Phantom recently for some sort of record.
Oh, well.
So
That's incredible to think about.
It's crazy. It's the third longest running show on Broadway.
Wow.
And it's already
next to like Cats,
I guess. And at this point, it's already grossed. About
cats, cats and lions.
We just all love those felines on Broadway. Oh my gosh, we've cracked the code. I'm making a new musical about cats.
There you go.
It's grossed over $1 million already, making it the highest grossing Broadway show of all time.
Do you mean a billion?
No, I wrote down million, but maybe not. You can double check me at some point.
Okay.
It won 6 Tony Awards upon its open, which is always great.
Are they only allowed to win Tony Awards basically on their first year out?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
We don't want to reward anybody for sticking around a long time.
They should have like a diamond award. They're like after 10 years that they're, you know, like they give like a diamond awards out if you've been
a lifetime achievement award.
Right? If you've been on for 10 years or something.
Do a memorial to all the costumes and shoes that have been destroyed during the show. Oh my
gosh. That's crazy. Yeah, because I would love to see how they do like zebras and stuff on there. Or not zebras, giraffes on there.
Yeah.
Because they're huge, right? Don't they go up to like the mezzanine?
It's massive. So I've seen it. I was fortunate enough to see it while it was in LA. But for those of you that haven't seen it, while I say it's a puppet show in the very basest form of the word.
Oh, right.
What it really is that these actors use all sorts of forms of puppetry to not just become the animals, but also the plants and the scenery involved in the show.
Yeah.
So it's a full experience with these actors in these very simple, but very effective type of costumes. For instance, the giraffes, the actors are on stilts. All four limbs are on stilts.
Oh, okay.
And then they have a headpiece that extends their head all the way up to the height.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I just look at it and think, whew, that is an unwieldy costume to walk around in.
Yeah.
Good for you guys. And then they have people with antelopes on their arms, and they have people with birds on sticks that fly around, and it's a very complex looking thing with very simple setup, I guess is the way to put it.
How interesting. Yeah, and I think now that it's been like 23 years, I guess we're a little bit more accustomed to what it looks like now. But man, I just remember how big of a deal it was back then.
Yeah.
And the first time we saw it, we're like, wow, that looks so cool.
Well, like the elephant. And it still does.
Obviously, it's why it's still on Broadway.
Yeah.
How do they do the elephant?
I believe it's two actors. One holds the front of the elephant and one holds the back. And then they have setups where they move the feet so it looks like it's walking as they move.
Oh, that's cool.
But what I thought was interesting, I watched a couple behind the scenes things on it just to remind myself, is that literally 98% of the costuming is handmade. They sew it together. They hand bead everything. They wash everything by hand. They dye all the fabrics.
You would really have to. Like, you can't really just go to the Lion King store and buy it all, right?
I'm going down to the local Lion Mart and seeing if I can find me a new beaded corset. Yeah, it is. I think that is the way with most Broadway shows, is that they don't normally, you know, when you're creating costumes, you're actually creating costumes.
Yeah.
But if you look at the close-ups of these things that these actors are wearing, it's all done so methodically for something that very few people see up close. When you think about a stage show, you can get the idea of color shift and maybe texture from a distance.
Yeah.
But hardly ever are you up close enough that you can see the individual beading on a lot of the costuming.
Well, I think that's how a lot of Broadway's been elevated, is because of shows like Lion King that have done such great work. That
they definitely pushed people to work on the visual. And I think what it was is it pushed American theater to work on our visuals. A lot of people used to say that all of the musicals and plays that came from Europe did so well because they had huge set pieces.
Okay.
Les Mis had a massive barricade that would come up, and Phantom had the falling chandelier, and, you know, they're like, why is Britain so big with all of their stuff? Uh-huh. You know, that's why everybody likes it, because it's a spectacle.
Uh-huh. But that's what theater theatrical
is. Exactly. That's what theater is. And so Lion King came along and said, well, we can be just as huge and theatrical as anybody else.
Yeah.
And I think they nailed it in that aspect.
Well, and really, because it is converting a cartoon to an adult medium, that you do have to do something if you're going to really elevate it. You have to, otherwise it will end up being a kid's play on Broadway.
Oh, exactly. And I think it still is, technically. I think I saw The Lion King when I was 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
And even as a cynical new teenager where nothing's cool, I had a great time watching The Lion King musical, you know. Some of the things that are really cool, the lions have headpieces that they wear.
Oh, that's cool.
That look like the lions that they're portraying. So Mufasa and Scar specifically have huge masks that can read all the way to the back of the theater. And they're also mechanical, so that they come down in front of the actor and go out and can tilt and all kinds of things. Oh, and they have to wear these huge cages on their back to hold the rig in place. And I was watching the videos again, and the masks are made out of a carbon graphite, which is what they use to make like race cars with.
Oh, that's cool.
So that it's super, super tough, but super, super lightweight, which you have to think about for actors that are wearing it 8 times a week.
Absolutely.
On a raked stage, which means the stage is tilted forward.
Oh, yeah.
It can wreak havoc on your posture, on your back, on your feet, to carry around weird weight at a weird angle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a lot of really cool engineering that goes into the design of something that we see for maybe 2.5-3 hours, but is used for 8 shows a week and still maintains its functionality.
That's just crazy. How many Lion King songs are in there? Are they all in there pretty much?
Yeah, all the Lion King movie songs are in there.
Uh-huh.
And then of course they add more because you have to kind of stretch.
Oh yeah.
A little bit.
I can see that. Do you think Elton John helped with the writing of the new songs?
He did.
Okay.
Yeah, he's actually credited as writing along with Tim Rice on lyrics. And then they also brought in a lot of people who specialized in African style musics to help them with the arrangements and representing different parts of Africa and the cultures of Africa. Not just with the music, but with the dancing and the movement also. They tried to make sure that Africa, since that's where this show is set, is well represented and authentically represented.
How fun is that?
Yeah.
That's great.
I think it's fun.
Huh.
And then you also have people that are using legitimate puppets. You know,
There are puppets.
The person who plays Zazu is a...
That would make sense.
If you've been to California Adventure and watched the Frozen show, you know that the actor playing Olaf is visible as a person, but he has just a smaller puppet of Olaf that represents the character. Yeah, right?
Olaf has his own companion.
Yeah, right. And
special little friend.
They found out while doing The Lion King that trying to hide the actor was almost cheating. It felt too much like a little kid puppet show.
Yeah.
And so they tried it with having the character fully visible, the person playing it fully visible, and using the puppet to represent the character. And they were amazed at how quickly people accept that.
Yeah.
As the character, how quickly some people focus directly on the puppet and forget that the performer is even there.
Yeah, at the California Adventure show, again, when we saw Aladdin, they did that with, what was the bird from Aladdin?
Iago.
They did the same thing with that,
mm-hmm.
I believe, right?
Yeah.
So same concept type thing?
Because you think it would be weird to watch a person dressed, in Zazu's case, is dressed in all blue with a bowler hat, walking around with a huge bird puppet.
Yeah.
You know, you think it would be distracting, but you're surprised at how quickly you accept that as a character.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing goes for every other full-bodied performer on the stage. You know, you have the hyenas that are very stylized, and you can see that there's actors in there, but eventually you kind of forget that they're there.
Right.
It's really impressive how they didn't want to hide their performers, so their performers can still use their own expressions to help aid to sell the idea. But it's campy enough, I guess. Is campy the right word? It's creative enough that if you took a child to watch it, I don't think that they would be disappointed that Pumbaa doesn't look like Pumbaa. You know right. what I mean? Because that's what the kids want to see. And since this is The Lion King, I think a lot of families go, and you want the kids to be engaged as much as the adults.
Did the fart humor make it to Broadway, or did they cut that?
Not as much as in the live action film, but it did make it into the, yeah.
Didn't think New Yorkers would put up with that. I thought it would definitely get cut.
And so The Lion King has been touring around the world. I don't think that it's ever stopped touring since it started. I think there's almost constantly a tour of The Lion King going somewhere.
I was just going to ask, because we have tickets for a community theater, and I've never seen it on the playbill. Not once.
I'm sure they have a Lion King Jr., like
do you think so?
A pared down version that they probably would do.
Oh, I should look it up right now.
Which would be really fascinating to see. I think that would be something that maybe a more well-funded theater would have to do.
Yeah.
I guess you could get away with just doing like face paint and letting the kids have fun like that. You That'd don't have fun. To do anything crazy, right?
I'm a total supporter of this.
You're down for this? See, this is the difference between me and Steve, is that kids theater makes me anxious.
Uh-huh. It does me too.
And, you know, it's mostly because I want the kids to be really good.
Uh-huh.
And it's very rare that the kids are all really good.
It's so embarrassing. We show up and everybody goes, "Oh, what kid is yours?"
We're like, none of them.
We're just
we just love the theater. That's all.
I love me a $10 play, guys. This, well,
yeah,
this
I mean,
is my price point.
We went to see a Mary Poppins Jr. and it was really good.
Oh, just recently we did, yeah, and it felt like a full size production. Yeah. I would have totally thought it was. I liked it every bit of it, and it was also like $12.
Yeah.
Super affordable, super fun.
Cool.
And I like supporting small things like that, because you never know. It's kind of like the difference of going to a community baseball game and a major league baseball game.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes the major league baseball games are so good that they're boring. You know what I mean? And like but when you go to the local ones, you just never have any idea what's going to happen.
You get hit in the face with the ball. You have no idea.
You never know who's going to win. You know, the teams are not necessarily all. Yeah, no idea.
Yeah.
Those are interesting. And I feel the same way kind of about community theater. Just like, and I like supporting people locally that want to, you know, they want to show that they have a skill as well.
Putting yourself out there on a stage is very scary stuff.
Completely. I would be much more afraid of being in community theater than like a Broadway play, you know?
Sure.
They're not going to let you mess up on Broadway.
I was about to say, I'd have to have more confidence that my singing was up to par if they cast me in a Broadway show than if they cast me in a community theater show.
Right. Well, yeah, if they cast you on Broadway, I mean, they can do a lot to make you look good, train you well, get you the microphones, get you the right costumes. You almost can't mess it up at that point. But if you're in a community theater, man, it's just you and a hand puppet.
Yeah. Sometimes not even that. Support local theaters, because, you know, they need it. They need it more than the Broadway shows do,
very
honestly.
True.
So if you were going to be in a stage production of The Lion King, who do you think that you would have fun playing?
Iago.
Oh.
No.
You know, at not some right? point I have to believe that you know what you're talking about, but there are times that I legitimately think you say something and don't realize that it's not correct.
I mean, I think Timon is definitely the much more my speed of character.
Okay.
I think most people's speed, really. Who doesn't want to be the comedian, right?
Yeah, you want to be a funny character, right?
I mean, everybody, I guess, would want to be like, you know, the lions, obviously, the Lion King. Simba, maybe. I don't know. But no, I think that Timon is who I'd want to be. I wouldn't want to be Pumbaa because of the fart jokes again.
Oh, yeah. Know? You're such a lady. You would hate to have to do a fart joke.
So above that.
Right? Hoity-toity. If I was going to do a professional version of The Lion King, I would probably just want to be a member of the chorus and get to do all the fun costume changes.
Do you know what? Keep going.
No, I want to know what. You just told me you know what.
Okay, this always sounds bad, but this has always been the roles that I'm more attracted to. I don't want to be the star of the show. I always want to be like the part of the ensemble.
Uh-huh.
So much more fun, it looks
they
like.
They do so much more stuff.
Yeah. They don't have all the pressure of it. They get to be in so many different parts. They don't have to, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, so I totally am an ensemble character.
I just want to be one of the grass things. Like, they have like a whole scene where people walk around with tables of grass on their head, like,
and they're part of the choreography that I like better.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
But if I had to be
a
lead role, I think Scar would be super fun to be.
Oh,
you get a super cool song. Villains are always very interesting to play. He has some funny parts, and then he goes super dark, and then you get to die on stage, which is super cool. Yeah.
There are a lot of lions dying in that show.
Except you'd probably get booed at the end of it if you played Scar, don't you think?
Yeah.
People aren't really a big fan.
So during the screen, what's it called? During the curtain call, then you're going to get booed?
Yeah.
But they don't boo Scar.
They totally do.
Do they really?
Yeah. Hmm. It's like the Little Mermaid, the actress that played Ursula said, I come out to bow and everyone just boos me and it's wonderful. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I don't know that my psyche could handle that.
I would do that. That's hilarious.
But I guess the moral of the story is support local theater. Go see your junior productions of whatever they're showing, because there's probably good theater happening all over the place all the time.
And the Broadway production of Lion King.
And yeah, they need it. Plug it. They need the money. They're struggling. But it's like I always say, prepare for sensational news.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.